This is the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray, episode 132.
Welcome to the Soulful PR Podcast. Tune in every week for practical tips, strategies, and case studies that will help you get media coverage for your business. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello, and welcome to the show. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about four excuses that you might be making not to blog. And by that, I mean publishing regular content on your website in the form of a blog, a vlog, a podcast, and any other kind of content, really. But before we get to the main part of the show, I just wanted to say a quick word about our new sponsor, ResponseSource. ResponseSource is a media inquiry service that puts journalists who are looking for help with stories in touch with people who want to be featured in the media. So that's people like you. And if you subscribe to ResponseSource, you'll get dozens of emails in your inbox every day from journalists from the likes of the BBC, The Guardian, and Grazia magazine. So there's no need to write press releases or pitches to journalists. You simply reply to the messages in your inbox. Now, using ResponseSource has resulted in some fantastic coverage for the clients that I work with. And one example that comes to mind is Kate Beavis, an expert in vintage style who's recently been featured in the Daily Mail, in Top Sante magazine and the Metro newspaper, simply from replying to a few emails. So if you'd like to find out if ResponseSource could help you to get press coverage for your business and have a free trial of the service, then head over to responsesource.com/Janet Murray. That's responsesource.com/Janet Murray, and I'll also put a link to that in the show notes. And now, on with the main part of the show. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about four excuses you might be making not to blog. And by that, I mean creating regular content that you publish on your website. And that might be a written blog, it could be a video blog, it could be podcasts, it could be images, it could be infographics, but basically any kind of regular content that you publish on your website. And I want to start by just giving you the context and really talking about what inspired me to create this particular episode. So I've spent the last few weeks talking to new members of my Soulful PR Studio. So that's my membership community for people who want ongoing support with promoting their business through blogging, through social media, through email marketing, and also through press, which is obviously my specialist area. And there's one conversation that I've had over and over again, which I'm going to share with you. I'm not talking about anybody in particular, but this is a conversation that I've had so many times that I thought I really need to turn this into a podcast episode. So the conversation goes something like this. So the member says to me, well, I've got this idea for an online program or service, or I've got a new product line that's coming out in a few months' time. So what I was thinking of doing is trying to get some press. So trying to see if I can get an article in a national newspaper or in a glossy magazine. And yeah, you know, that's how I'm going to sell loads of these products and services. So at this stage, I normally ask them this. So who are you going to sell it to? So who have you got in your email list? Where are your customers? And they say, oh, well, I don't have any at the moment. But if I get some press, if I get an article in a newspaper or a magazine, then that will build my list. People will come over to my website and I'll have a few hundred or maybe even thousands of people to sell my product or my service or online course, whatever it might be. And I just say to them, look, that's not going to happen. I'm a press specialist, so I specialize in helping people to get media coverage, but I know more than anybody that getting one or two articles in the press, even if it's the national press, even if it's quite a prestigious title, is not going to guarantee that your business is going to skyrocket and you're going to sell loads of stuff. And here's the reason why. And some of you will be familiar with theory about sales, and you may have heard that it takes people typically at least 7 touch points before they buy. So they need to hear about your company, they need to hear about your products and services 7 times before they will make a decision whether to buy. And that's at least 7 times. And if you don't believe me, I'm just going to tell you a story about one of my products, my media diary. Now, you might have heard me tell this story before, but I think it's worth repeating. So just before Christmas, I created a media diary, which is an A4 desk diary that you can use to plan out your media for the year. We're completely sold out now, But essentially, it's got loads of awareness days and anniversaries and ideas really for you to pitch ideas into the press, but also to come up with ideas for social media and your blog and that kind of thing. And it's been really popular. It's been really exciting to see people use it over the last month or so. However, this media diary, just before Christmas, as part of my launch strategy, I sent out an email and said, I'm going to be selling the media diary for £19.50. It actually went up to £30 when we launched it for real. And if you want to get in, if you want to pre-order a copy, it's just £19.50. Now, if you've got one of them, you'll know that actually, if you think about the time and effort that went in to create that media diary, so the time researching all the dates and the cost of the designer, the cost of the printing, that's really quite a good price. However, even for £19.50, we had lots of questions, lots of queries, people wanting to see the inside of it. And, you know, why shouldn't they? Because that's their £19.50 and, you know, they don't want to make a mistake. So I looked at the journeys of some of the people who spent that £19.50 with me. And there was one in particular that stood out, and I used it as an example in some sales training recently. And it was a lady who'd bought one of my diaries. It's the first thing that she'd ever bought. And just to say, I can map this journey because I use Infusionsoft as my email provider. So I can basically look at the emails that people have sent and what they've been tagged in as having participated in or bought. So this lady's bought one thing from me. It's a £19.50 media diary. But in the run-up to that, she came on board through a Facebook ad in June. She'd attended several webinars. She'd downloaded a cheat sheet. I think she'd also taken part in my 10-day challenge. She'd also read some of my emails, not all of them. And I'm presuming, because I link to lots of my content in my emails, that she'd read some of my blog posts and listened to some of my podcasts, possibly, but I don't really know about that. But when we counted it up, she'd had at least 7 touch points with me and my business before she made that decision to spend £19.50. And I had a really interesting interview episode with the content marketing expert, Marcus Sheridan, and that's back in episode 127. And if you haven't listened to it, do go back and have a listen. And we talk about this story on that episode, so you may have heard it before, but I just think it's one of those stories that I just need to keep reminding people of. And he said, you know, that woman took 7 touch points at least to make a decision to buy from you. And why shouldn't she? It was only £19.50, but she didn't want to make a mistake. She wanted to make sure that she was making a good decision, and she wanted to do her research. And Marcus says in that episode that there's this myth out there online that people don't have time to research. They're busy. They just want to find what they need and just buy it. But I found exactly the opposite. Most people who work with me, so most people who've recently, I've just taken 82 new members into my Soulful PR studio. Those are not new to me when I look at their journey. They didn't come to me from one webinar. They've generally been following my work for up to a year, might be longer. They've been reading my blog posts. They've been listening to my podcast. They have been in my Facebook group. Actually, lots of members, that's where they started really, was in my Facebook group. And they've really got to know me, so that when they made that decision to join the studio, some of them have even been to my live events, for example, so they've met me in person. So in making that decision to spend, in their case, it was around £300 or £42 a month, then they've really done their homework on me, and they're not buying from somebody that they don't know or that they've just made a snap decision. They've really done their homework on me and they've made a decision to buy. And I share this because I just think there's this perception out there that you can just build something and people will come. So you can just create a product, you can just create a service. And I'm afraid that in the current buying context, that's just not true. People spend a lot of time online, and before they buy from you, they really will want to do their homework and they will want to build a relationship with you. So if that hasn't convinced you why it's so important to be creating content regularly on your website, then I don't know what will. But hopefully some of these thoughts that I'm going to share next are going to do that. But the takeaway point for you, if you take away nothing else from this particular podcast, it's that if you want to have a constant stream of leads and sales, you need to build a community around your content. You need to build an audience around your content. So when I put my Soulful PR Studio out and said, this is my membership community, it's actually, I've upgraded really. I've had a membership community for a while. It used to be called my business club. But people already knew me. So it wasn't a big decision. I just put out a few posts in my Facebook group. I sent a few emails and people bought a membership to the studio in that really tricky period between Christmas and New Year when people generally don't have any money and they've got big credit card bills coming up or whatever. But I was able to just gently post a few things in my Facebook group and send out a few emails and able to, you know, fill up the membership and get the numbers in that I wanted, because now I'm really keen. I don't want a big membership community where I don't know people. I want a membership community where I pretty much know everybody in the group and know what their business is so that I can really, really help them. So having shared with you the reasons why I think it's so important to build a community around your content and actually be creating content regularly, I'm now going to share with you the four most common excuses that I hear from people not to blog, not to create content or publish content regularly on their website. So the first one and the most common one is I don't have time. And what I would say to you, if that's you, if you're saying, well, I'd love to do this, this sounds brilliant, Janet, but where am I going to find the time to do it? I'd say to you, how can you not have the time to do this? So if you're saying that you're not going to be publishing content regularly on your blog because you don't have time, you're busy with other things, essentially what you're saying is that you don't have time to answer your customers' questions and you don't have time to anticipate the things that might be bothering them, because essentially every business is just about solving people's problems. So if you're saying you don't have time to create that kind of content, then you're saying really that you don't have time to answer your customers' questions. And for me, that feels like quite a tricky thing, because as a business owner, you should be able to answer your customers' questions. You should be able to solve your customers' problems and be able to create content about that. And it shouldn't be a difficult thing for you to do. And just to give you an example, so my Facebook community is just about, as I'm recording this, it's about to hit 6,000 members. Now, some people say to me, gosh, that's huge. How do you actually manage to talk to everybody in there? And I do, you'll know that if you're in the group, I do respond to lots of people personally. I do miss the odd one, but I generally respond to most posts, particularly if people tag me in and they ask for my help. And the reason I'm able to do it is because I've got a bank of content. I've got like 250 blog or podcast articles. So when somebody asks me a question, I can generally say, give them a few pointers and then say, you might want to listen to this or you might want to read this, because there's generally not much that I haven't already created content around. And if someone asks a question that I think, oh, actually, I don't have any content on that, I stick it on the list and I create a blog post or a podcast episode. It's the same when people email me. So when somebody emails me with quite a specific question, and essentially people email and they're looking for a bit of free consultancy, and if I was to answer every one of those emails and to spend time replying, then I wouldn't have any time to make any money, basically. So when somebody sends me quite a specific email, I've got content I can send them. So I don't feel like I'm being rude, but I can say, look, I don't have time to answer all of these individually, I hope you understand. However, I've created a blog post, which I think is absolutely perfect and will answer your questions. So I would say, can you afford not to spend the time on this? It's a really, really important thing. So the second excuse I hear a lot from people, which is about not blogging, is I don't know what to create content about. Where am I going to come up with ideas? And it really is easy. A good business blog should simply answer customers' questions. So if you go and have a look at my blog now, or you go and have a look through the back catalogue of this podcast, every single piece of content is about answering your questions. So one of my most popular blog posts is how to write a press release. Another popular one is how to write emails to journalists. Another popular one is how to find journalists on Twitter. So it's all about solving your problems and basically answering the questions that you put to me or that have been put to me in the past. And if you can't think of questions that people have asked you or that people ask you regularly, I mean, I do hear that a lot. I think, oh, yeah, I hear people say, oh, I don't know what people ask me. Then one little tip I would give you is just go to some people who are your ideal customer, or go to your current customers or your past customers and just ask them, say, what are the biggest questions that you have about not just my product and my service, but, you know, what I do, basically. So to give you an example, I've got a new member called Jacqueline who's come into my Soulful PR studio. And Jacqueline has got this fantastic idea for an app for solo travelers. And I hope I'm explaining this right, Jacqueline, if you're listening. But essentially, it's a service for people who travel alone so that when they are traveling, they can connect up with others and find somebody basically to go and have a drink or a coffee with. So when they're off on the other side of the world on their own, they've got that little bit of company and they can track other travelers and arrange to meet up with them. And I know there's a little bit more to it, but that's just my journalist's 10-word top line on the topic. So I was doing a consult with Jacqueline. I hope she doesn't mind me sharing this because she did then go on and post to my Facebook group about it. But she was saying, I'm not really sure what to create content around. And I was like, Jacqueline, what do people ask you about being a solo traveler? And she said, well, they ask things like, you know, I don't like staying in hostels. So how can I find hotels to stay in that aren't astronomical? She said to me, and we laughed about this on the call. She said, they say, how do I go to the toilet? You know, if I'm on a train halfway across India and I've got all my stuff with me, how do I go to the loo? She said to me, people ask things like, you know, what do I do if I feel lonely, or what happens if I get sick when I'm away or whatever? And the loo one, we laughed, you know, and for those who are not from the UK, by loo, I mean toilet. So we laughed about this, but actually that's a real problem when you're a traveler. If you're traveling alone and you've got loads of stuff with you and you're worried people are going to nick your stuff, that's actually a problem. And Jacqueline, as someone who's done a lot of solo travel on her own, she has answers and she has tips and she has experience that she can share that is helpful. So I encourage Jacqueline to go into my Facebook group, which is the Soulful PR Facebook community, and just ask people what questions they had about solo travel. And lo and behold, she posted in, here's my business, this is what I do. What questions would you have for me if you were traveling alone? And she got 20 replies, 20 questions that essentially could be blog posts. And the questions that you tackle, I don't think personally they should be specifically just about your products and services, although you can do that. I've recently done a blog post, which I'll link to in the show notes, which was about how much it costs to put on events and workshops. And that was partly motivated by the emails that we get from people asking for discounts on events. I wanted people to understand how much it costs to actually put an event on and what was involved, so that when they do ask for discounts, I've got something to send them. But also, a lot of the business owners I work with, they're interested in running their own events. So they found that really useful. So I think some of your content should be about your own products and services and answering questions around that. But a lot of it could be quite generic. So in Jacqueline's case, there's a whole host of stuff that she could create about, you know, staying safe when you're a lone female traveler. I know something that I've experienced when I've been traveling alone is using taxis. I found that I had a really hairy experience actually when I was traveling in Dubai, of all places, with somebody who got in a taxi with somebody. And luckily I was with a friend and he clearly wasn't taking us where we want to go. And luckily my friend was like really insistent that he let us out. But it was a really kind of hairy moment. And I think Jacqueline could, you know, I feel quite excited about her blog because I think there's so much content that she could create. So if you're saying you don't know what to blog about, simply find some people who are your ideal customers, or just ask your customers, what questions have you got about my product or services, or what I do, or the topic that I deal in? And you could have a year's worth of blog posts, I absolutely promise you. So the next thing I hear a lot from people is, well, I've tried that before, but it didn't work. So I tried blogging and nothing happened. I put some stuff on my website and nobody came. Well, of course they didn't come. If you just put a blog post on your website and maybe sent out a few tweets about it, but you haven't got many followers on Twitter, or you put it on your Facebook page, but you've only got a couple of hundred likes, of course people didn't come and of course they didn't engage. Seriously, when you start out with a blog, you have to hustle big time. I'm going to share something with you that I'm hoping might help you to understand what's involved. But obviously, you know, there's huge payoff to this. But when I launched this podcast, I happened to be working at The Guardian. I was filling in for an editor. And on the day that my podcast launched, I was really keen to get reviews on iTunes because I'd read that if you could get so many reviews on iTunes, then you would get put in new and noteworthy on the front page of iTunes, which would mean that your content would be promoted for a couple of months for free. So when people went, when they were looking for podcasts to listen to, you know, basically mine would come up. So I was intent that this podcast was going to be new and noteworthy. So I was working at The Guardian. At lunchtime, I went out to Marks and Spencer's, and that's one of our sort of department type stores for those who are not from the UK. I bought a load of cakes, and then I literally walked around the desks of people that I knew, or where there were people that I knew were sitting, because I've worked for them for years. So I know quite a lot of people at The Guardian. Gave them some cakes and then said, look, I've got this podcast out today. Can you do me a favor and listen to it, or just listen to, you know, some of it, and just tell me if you like it, could you leave me a review, please? And they all laughed. They all thought it was quite amusing, but they did it. I mean, not everybody did it, but enough people did it. I also emailed all of my friends and just said, please, 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 can you listen to this and leave me a review? It's so important. Ask my family to do it. You know, you really, really do have to hustle when you're first creating new content. You've got a new blog, you've got a new podcast. And think about it in context. When I launched my podcast, I already had hundreds of blog posts. So it wasn't like I was a newbie creating content for the first time. I already had an audience. I already had quite a big email list that I could email and tell about the podcast, but I still went out and bought cakes and basically kind of twisted people's arms to listen to the podcast and leave me that review, because you can't just create content and then expect that people are just going to find it. You have to be out there helping people to find that content. And another, I'm going to share this video with you in the show notes, but just before I was about to record this episode, I saw Lucy Hall, who I interviewed a few episodes, actually it was quite a while ago, interviewed for the podcast. She organises the event Social Day, and I'm speaking at it in June. But she just shared something on her Facebook account, which I just thought was brilliant. And it was a video by Gary Vaynerchuk, who's the entrepreneur and online marketing expert. And if you don't like swearing, then you might not want to watch this particular clip. But I just thought it was great. And he was talking about how many messages he gets every day from people asking if he will be their mentor. And in this video, he says, you don't need a mentor. What you need is just to do the work. You know, you can read as many books as you like on this topic. You can watch as many videos, but you just have to hustle. You have to just get out and do the work. And he turns to his assistant in this video. I think it's his assistant. It's just some sort of like young scrap of a boy, and says to him, do you want a six pack? And the guy nods his head and says, well, if you want a six pack, then it's no good you reading about it. It's no good you watching videos about it. You actually have to go out and do the work. So if you've tried a blog before and nobody has engaged with it, I can 100% guarantee that that will be because you haven't done the work. You haven't done the hustle involved in going out and getting people to listen to your podcast or to read your blog or to look at your videos or whatever it might be. You really, really do have to hustle. Now, some of you may be thinking at this stage, this sounds like too much. I don't think I can do this. I don't think that I've got what it takes. It's a lot of work up front, but when you start to see the results, when you start to see what happens when you're creating regular content and you're becoming an authority in your field, and when you see how that results in sales, I can guarantee you that you will think the hustle is worth it. So when you do launch a blog or a podcast or vlog, whatever it is, you have to be out there. It has to be on your email signature. You have to be talking about it in Facebook groups. And by that, I don't mean ramming it down people's throats. I mean, you know, if somebody asks a question, you've got a relevant blog, you just share it with them. You need to be telling your friends, you need to be telling your family, you need to be telling everybody in your Facebook group, and you need to be really, really hustling. And I promise you, it will be just so, so worth it. And the last thing I want to tackle in terms of excuses, and I've had this a few times actually over the last few weeks as I've been inducting new members into my Soulful PR studio. And what people have said is, if I create all this blog content and if I put all of my stuff out there, then nobody's going to buy from me because they're already going to have everything that they need from me. So why would they buy from me? Now, here's a really interesting thing. And I had this exact conversation with somebody yesterday afternoon. And I said to her, we're on this call, right? You've paid me however much it is to join my studio. And she said, yeah. I said, everything that I'm telling you now, you could go and find it on my website, or you could find a podcast episode, or you could go through my webinar library, or you could look at my tweets or my Facebook page. Everything we're talking about is out there. And if it's not out there right now, it will be out there soon. So why did you choose to work with me? And she said, well, because I wanted it to be personalized. I've consumed loads of your content. I know what you're saying, but I wanted you within the community to help me see how it might apply to me and to give me some accountability. So here's the thing. If you're out there creating regular content that makes you an authority in your industry, rather than being less likely to want to do business with you, people are actually more likely. The more content you put out there, the more that they see that you're an expert, people are just hungry for more. So it's actually the opposite of what you expect. And the reason that they're hungry for more is that what they want is they like your content, they know you, they trust you. Now they want it personalized for them. So I hope you found that useful. As ever, I love hearing from you. So do get in touch with me if you've got any questions or comments. You can email me at janet@janetmurray.co.uk. You can tweet me at @Jan_Murray, or you can find me over on Instagram at @JanMurrayUK.
You've just been listening to the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray. If you enjoyed the show, she'd really appreciate you leaving a review on iTunes. And don't forget to head over to www.janetmurray.co.uk for more free content that will help you get media coverage for your business.